Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, we find that the joy of the gopis nourishes the joy of Lord Krishna. For that reason, the fault of lust is not present in their love. Purport. By looking at the beautiful gopis, Krishna becomes enlivened. And this enlivens the gopis, whose youthful faces and bodies blossom. This competition of increasing beauty between the gopis and Krishna, which is without limitations, is so delicate that sometimes mundane moralists mistake these dealings to be purely amorous. But these affairs are not at all mundane, because the gopis' intense desire to satisfy Krishna surcharges the entire scene with pure love of Godhead, with not a spot of sexual indulgence. So some very elevated but nevertheless very important topics are being discussed in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports makes everything so clear. It gives us the proper conclusions of real devotional life as opposed to concocted versions. So even though it may be very elevated, but Srila Prabhupada's explanations make everything very clear. So as devotees, we must nourish our consciousness with these conclusions. This chapter, the fourth of the Adi Lila, is titled The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance. And in the previous chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explained the external reasons for the Lord's appearance, that he wanted to inaugurate the process of religion for this age of Kali. He wanted to bestow the love of Vrindavan upon the people of this age, something that had not been done by any incarnation for a long, long time. And also, he was responding to the calls of his dear devotee, Advaita Acharya, and also, of course, Haridas Thakur. And now, Kaviraj Goswami says that there are some internal reasons. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. And those internal reasons are very confidential, not easy to understand. And in his Mangalacharan prayers also, Kaviraj Goswami mentions these verses. And the particular verse that deals with this topic explains the three reasons for Mahaprabhu's advent, the internal reasons. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vana Yaiva. That's the first one. So Krishna is thinking that what is the glory of Srimati Radharani's love for me? Pranaya Mahima. Pranaya means love, Mahima means glories. Kidrisho means what kind of. So what are the glories of Srimati Radharani's love for me? So Krishna wants to know that. Krishna is a subject, Srila Prabhupada explains, of Srimati Radharani's love. So she is the object. So now Krishna wants to be the object. He wants to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love for him. Svadyo yena adbhuta madhurima kidrisho va madiyaha. That's the second reason. He wants to relish or taste svadhyaha. Svad means to taste. Yena adbhuta. Adbhuta means the extraordinary. Madhurima, sweetness. Vamadiyaha, of his own nature. Krishna is sweetness personified. And in fact, Krishna is so beautiful and so he has so much of transcendental sweetness that even he cannot fathom it. And he gets attracted to himself, such is the nature of his beauty and his transcendental sweetness. This has been explained in the earlier parts of this chapter. So, Krishna wants to understand through the medium of Srimati Radharani's love and mood what his own sweetness is like. He wants to understand himself better, but through the medium of Srimati Radharani. So now one may ask, well, God is supposed to be all-knowing, he's omniscient, so how does he not know these things? Well, he does know it, but there's still something that's really an endless search, an endless experience of perfection that goes on and on. And because Krishna is limitless, he's endless, so his bliss also is endless, and it increases endlessly. The third that Kaviraj Goswami explains is, Saukham chasya mad anubhavataha kidrisham veti lobhat. He wants to understand the Saukhyam, what kind of happiness does Srimati Radharani feel in that love for me. So having talked about the glory of her love, now he wants to experience that love for himself. What is the happiness that she perceives? Now, in the course of this discussion in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has discussed the first two, and presently he is discussing the third one. And in the course of this discussion, we have just read the verses wherein we understand that the gopis' love for Krishna is very pure, and that is a subtopic being discussed now. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami discusses that the gopis experience tremendous happiness, in fact 10 million times greater happiness in being with Krishna and seeing him than he does by being with them and seeing them. So naturally, Krishna wants to also experience that greater happiness. And Kaviraj Goswami is taking pains to explain that this love of the gopis for Krishna is not mundane at all. There is no trace even, in the slightest degree even, of any form of sexual indulgence or mundane sentiment. It is based on pure, selfless love. And earlier in this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami has illustrated this with the analogy of gold and iron. Mundane lust is like iron, and pure love, the divine love for Krishna, is like gold. So even though both look to be metals, but nevertheless there's a world of difference. In the same way, even though the mundane love of this world seems to look like the love that the gopis had for Krishna, but there is a world of difference. So therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is explaining this elaborately so that no one should misunderstand the nature of the love that the gopis have for Krishna. And in the course of this, he is now explaining the extent of the glory of the happiness that the gopis feel. And why is it then that Krishna wants to experience that? How is it that the gopis experience more happiness than Krishna? That's the mystery. So Krishna wants to solve this mystery, and the only way to solve the mystery is to actually experience it. So these are the topics here, and we see in these verses that there is a competition of service, of love, and therefore happiness increases in proportion to that. So these are very, very deep subjects. Perhaps one day we should aspire to try to delve in. It's an aspiration of every one of our lives that we will be able to really understand what this is all about. Right now, we are trying to use our little spiritual intelligence to try to understand what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. But the perfection of our life is when we will actually enter into the mysteries of these things, but in a gradual way, in a step-by-step way, not jumping out of turn, but going through the process that Srila Prabhupada has taught, from the basics, working ourselves way up and letting the truth reveal, letting Radha and Krishna reveal the truth to us as we go along, not prematurely trying to jump into areas where we are not qualified to enter. Incidentally, today also happens to be the disappearance day anniversary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. It is also the day when the Rath Yatra festival happens in Jagannath Puri. And since His Grace Jananivas Prabhu spoke about it nicely yesterday, we will not discuss that topic here. But we will talk a little bit about Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, because the topic that is being discussed has an intimate connection with him. It also is the disappearance day anniversary of another great associate of Mahaprabhu, Srila Shivananda Sen, about whom, if time permits, we may talk very briefly at the end of the class. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this idea of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal reasons for advent were actually revealed to the world by Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Kaviraj Goswami says, if anyone else claims to understand this rasa tattva, then he must have heard it from Swarup Damodar. No one else can understand. He is the authority, the real authority on all these very, very esoteric and deep subject matters. So no one can understand it without having understood it in his line. He is the great authority, Kaviraj Goswami says. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, in one of his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this is the way of the parampara. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami was the personal secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Swarup Damodar were the six Goswamis. And then came Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And in this way the parampara continued. So even if you look in the Bhagavad Gita introduction, the last part where Prabhupada is given the disciplic succession, you will see that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you have Rupa Goswami, and also there is Swarup Damodar and Sanatan Goswami. And after them are Raghunath Goswami and Jiva Goswami, and then there is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So Swarup Damodar Goswami has a very, very important role to play in our parampara for various reasons. Yesterday was the Gundicha Marjana festival. And there's another interesting episode that happened at the Gundicha Marjan festival, which I didn't mention last night. When the washing was going on, the entire temple was being cleaned very thoroughly by Mahaprabhu and his devotees. One Vaishnava, who was very intelligent, but very simple by nature, he quickly came up to Mahaprabhu and poured a pot of water on his lotus feet, straight, and then drunk that water. Previously, somebody else had also done it, but very secretly. And then that person had also distributed that water in charity to the others. But now this one was really open. He just came forward and straight away did that. And this was in the temple. So Mahaprabhu expressed his displeasure at this. Firstly, because one is not supposed to have one's feet washed or even his feet touched or even to receive obeisances within the temple in front of the deities. It's against the etiquette as per the Pancharatrika Vidhi. That's how Srila Prabhupada explains it in his purport there. And he says that actually the Vaishnava didn't commit any offense because Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. So even if he washed Mahaprabhu's feet in the temple, there was no fault in it. On the contrary, it was glorious. But Mahaprabhu didn't want to present himself as a Supreme Lord. He was presenting himself as a human being, and therefore he had to set a standard of conduct. And he wanted to show that yes, we should not accept obeisances in front of the deities, neither should we offer obeisances to others. So he called Swarup Damodar, who was nearby, and he said, "Swarup, just look at your Bengali Vaishnava, your Gaudiya Vaishnava. Just look at him. Look at his behavior. First of all, he has washed my feet inside the temple. And then on top of that, he has drunk that water. I don't know what my destination will be. So please deal with him." So Swarup Damodar immediately caught that devotee by his neck. Of course, we don't have to imitate these things. But he caught him by the neck and gently pushed him out. And then he came back inside and begged forgiveness on his behalf. He said, "Please excuse him. He didn't know the etiquette." And Mahaprabhu, of course, excused him. Internally, he was happy that this Vaishnava had actually done this. But externally, he had to demonstrate what proper conduct is amongst devotees. So Swarup Damodar was told by Mahaprabhu, "Your Gaudiya Vaishnavas." So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this shows how important Swarup Damodar Goswami is for all of us. That anyone who claims to be a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must follow in the footsteps of Swarup Damodar Goswami. This is what Srila Prabhupada says. And then in the footsteps of his followers. So Swarup Damodar was a very intimate associate. In fact, arguably, he was the most intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri, and thereafter he went on a pilgrimage to many holy places in South India and came back via Western India back to Jagannath Puri. It was at this time that Swarup Damodar joined the Lord in Puri, and he remained with him till the very end, till the conclusion of the Lord's manifest pastimes in Puri. It is explained that Prabhupada in his own purports also mentions that Swarup Damodar was formally called Purushottam Acharya. He was a very learned Brahmin and he was very renounced. And even before he met Mahaprabhu, he had a strong bent of mind for renunciation. And he was so distraught with grief when Mahaprabhu took sannyas that even though he had been associating with the Lord, he could not tolerate that separation. So he departed from Navadvip and he went to Varanasi to take sannyas. And he lived under a sannyasi called Chaitanyananda Bharati. And he was given brahmachari name as Damodar Swarup. In the Shankara Sampradaya, the Advaita Sampradaya, which was very prevalent at that time, very common in Mahaprabhu's time, usually sannyasis are given titles from among a list of 10. So the followers of Shankaracharya or the sannyasis are called Dashanamis. Dashanamis meaning that they have 10 names, so 10 titles, like Tirtha, Saraswati, Ashram, Bharati, and so on. So the brahmacharis, every sannyasi is supposed to have a brahmachari who is his assistant. And the brahmacharis are also given titles. Depending on the title of the sannyasi, the brahmacharis assisting him also gets a certain title. So the title given to Swarup Damodar was Rad Damodar. That was his title. So Swarup Damodar was a brahmachari name. And then eventually he took sannyas. And his name should have become something Tirtha. But he didn't accept that name, the sannyas name. And neither did he accept the saffron cloth. But he did shave off his shikha and discard his sacred thread. You see, the Mayavadi sannyasis, when they take sannyas, they give up their sacred thread and they cut off the shikha. They wear saffron and they get a new name. So Mahaprabhu also did that when he accepted sannyas, because externally at least he had accepted sannyas in the impersonalist order from Keshav Bharati. So the Bharati is a sannyas name of the, it's a Dashanami name. So Swarup Damodar did not accept it. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Swarup Damodar took this step of not taking a sannyas name and not accepting the saffron color out of humility, because he didn't want to get proud that he was now a sannyasi. So he didn't want the trappings of a sannyasi. He didn't want all the respect that came out of being a sannyasi. He simply wanted to serve Krishna. And yes, we know that in devotional service, ashram and varna are external considerations. Krishna doesn't look at our varna and ashrama. He looks at the quality of our devotion. So Swarup Damodar was already an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. And all he wanted to do was to love Krishna and serve Krishna. But somehow or the other, in the madness of that love, Bhaktisiddhanta explains, and feeling separation from Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas. But nevertheless, at least he accepted some external symptoms of the Mayavadi sannyasis, shaving off his shikha and not accepting the saffron, the sacred thread. He gave that up. And then his sannyas guru, Chaitananda Bharati, asked him to study the Vedanta Sutra in great detail. But he was more interested in Krishna. And when he heard that Mahaprabhu had now come back to Jagannath Puri after his pilgrimage, he rushed there. And there is a nice description of his first meeting with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu actually embraced him. And when he saw Mahaprabhu for the first time, then he glorified him in many choice verses which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka. And he offered his obeisances also to Nityananda Prabhu and the other exalted senior personalities present there. And right from that moment, he actually became a very, very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This point is emphasized many times by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. On numerous occasions, he mentions how important Swarup Damodar was and how intimate an associate he was of Mahaprabhu. At one time, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Mahaprabhu had 3.5 intimate associates. One was Ramananda Rai, the second was Shikhi Mahiti, the third was Swarup Damodar, and the half was Shikhi Mahiti's sister, Madhavi Devi. Another place, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that he was the most important associate. At other places, he mentions that along with Ramananda Rai, he had very, very intimate dealings with Mahaprabhu. Especially during the phase of his Anti Leela, Mahaprabhu went more and more internal. And when he was in the Madhya Leela, he was doing Sankirtan, participating in the Rath Yatra, and he was meeting devotees. He was quite outgoing, even though he had his very, very deep phases all through. But this deepened considerably in his Anti Leela. And Kaviraj Goswami says that at night, Mahaprabhu would hardly sleep, and he would put his arms around Swarup Damodar's neck, especially when he was feeling intense feelings of separation from Krishna. And in that ecstasy, he would act erroneously and speak deliriously. And only people like devotees like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai would be able to relate to his mood. Swarup Damodar was very expert, so he would understand exactly the mood that Mahaprabhu was in, and he knew what he would need at that moment. So according to the mood, he would sing a particular song, or he would recite a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam or elsewhere, and then Mahaprabhu would be pacified and he would feel great happiness. In fact, both Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar would do this to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu loved to hear the songs of Vidyapati, Chandidas, of Geet Govinda, of Jayadev Goswami, the Krishna Karnamrita of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He would also like to hear the compositions of Ramananda Rai. He would like to hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai would facilitate Mahaprabhu's moods in this way. When Mahaprabhu was in the Rath Yatra in the Madhya Leela, he was in front of the chariot. He would many times speak verses or songs which other people couldn't relate to. Sometimes there were verses which seemed just mundane, but Swarup Damodar was the only one who understood. And on one occasion, Rupa Goswami also understood, and that's another wonderful pastime in itself. So Swarup Damodar was indeed so fortunate. He knew everything about Mahaprabhu's mood and his mind, and all the time he was with Mahaprabhu. And he was, being his secretary, he would screen anyone who came to Mahaprabhu. Many people would come to Mahaprabhu with their own compositions, saying, well, I have composed a poem and I want Mahaprabhu to hear it. I have composed a drama and I want the devotees to hear it and to see it. And because Mahaprabhu did not like any composition or anything spoken that didn't reflect the proper conclusions of devotional service, he was very reluctant to hear what was said unless it was screened by Swarup Damodar first. So this became an unwritten rule. If anyone had any composition, Swarup Damodar first went through it. And if there was no overlapping of bhava, of rasas, which is called rasabhasa, then he would forward it to Mahaprabhu. But otherwise, he would filter it out. There are some numerous instances like this also. One time, there was a devotee called Bhagavan Acharya who came. He was a simple devotee, but his brother was a Mayavadi. His name was Gopal Bhattacharya. And Gopal thought himself very learned in all the esoteric truths of Krishna consciousness. And he had a drama that he had composed, and he wanted the devotees to hear it. And Bhagavan Acharya, being very, very simple, also felt, yes, we should hear it. And then he tried to persuade Swarup Damodar to hear, and even to let Mahaprabhu hear. But Swarup Damodar admonished Bhagavan Acharya and said, you're just a simple liberal cowherd boy, and you get influenced by what anyone says to you. What your brother is saying is Mayavad philosophy. So Bhagavan Acharya was saying, well, but we are fixed up devotees. It won't make a difference to us. So Swarup Damodar replied that even if one is a pure devotee of the Lord, a Paramahamsa, such is the nature of the Mayavad conclusions that even such an advanced devotee could fall down by hearing this. And also, a devotee wants to be the eternal servant of Krishna. He never wants to become Krishna. The very thought that one can become Krishna is very repulsive to the devotees. So they don't like to hear such things at all. And in this way he convinced Bhagavan Acharya. Another time there was another poet who came along, and he had some compositions, but it was mental speculation. Again, Swarup Damodar had to get involved, and he had to make the poet understand the proper conclusions. So this was a very important role that Swarup Damodar played in the association of devotees. He was the guardian of the Siddhanta. And if it wasn't for him, actually speaking, we wouldn't have had this scripture that we are studying today, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are two main original note takers of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. One is Murari Gupta, the childhood associate and friend of Mahaprabhu. He recorded the childhood pastimes in great detail. And he also composed works like the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, which is still extant. And therefore, we have quite a lot of information about the early pastimes of Mahaprabhu. That's still there. The later pastimes, especially the Antya-lila, and to a large degree the Madhya-lila, were recorded by Swarup Damodar, because he was in the best position to do so, being so intimately associated with Mahaprabhu all the time. He was constantly with Mahaprabhu. And as the moods of Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation increased and deepened as time went by, all the more so Swarup Damodar was with Mahaprabhu. So he would record his experiences and his observations and the different pastimes of the Lord in Sanskrit verses in notes called kadachas. And then these notes were learnt or memorized by Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami had left his opulent circumstances to come and take shelter of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu in Puri. And when he arrived, Mahaprabhu placed him in the shelter of Swarup Damodar Goswami. There were several Raghunaths amongst Mahaprabhu's associates. There was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. There was another person called Raghunath Das. And then there was Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. So to distinguish him from the others, Mahaprabhu called him as Swarupera Raghunath, the Raghunath of Swarupa, of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he instructed Raghunath Das Goswami that you should henceforth take your instructions from Swarup Damodar. He will guide you in every respect. And Raghunath Das was very happy in such shelter. But one time he asked Swarup Damodar about his duties as a renunciant. And then Swarup Damodar said, why don't you ask Mahaprabhu? And then Swarup Damodar, on behalf of Raghunath Das Goswami, asked Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu replied that, well, I have already placed you in the care of Swarup Damodar. He is expert, I am not expert. But anyway, since you're asking me, I will tell you. And then he spoke some very beautiful verses. We don't have time to discuss all these pastimes in detail, describing how a renunciant should actually be living. Bhala na khaibe, bhala na poribe. You should not eat well, luxuriously. You should not dress luxuriously. You should always think of Krishna in your mind, and live in your mind within Vrindavan, and so on. Many such nice instructions. And then he said, but Swarup Damodar knows everything about all this. You take further instructions and guidance from him. So Swarup Damodar not only trained and guided Raghunath, he also made Raghunath Das Goswami memorize all the verses that he had composed in his kadachas. All the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Antilila especially, and also the Madhya. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Raghunath Das Goswami was surviving only because of Swarup Damodar's presence. But Swarup Damodar also could not tolerate the separation of Mahaprabhu, and he departed on this day. And upon his departure, Raghunath Das Goswami had no reason to live. So he went from Jagannath Puri all the way to Govardhan with the idea of climbing atop Govardhan Hill and jumping and committing suicide, because he didn't at all feel he could live. But as he went there out of etiquette, he first went to meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, who were already in Vrindavan Braj at that time. And upon hearing of his determination, they persuaded him to change his decision. And they said, "Raghunath, you come and stay with us like our brother. And we will all serve Radha and Krishna together here in the holy place of Braj." And so Raghunath was persuaded to change his mind, and he lived. He made his base at Radha Kund. And every evening, for a couple of hours, he would speak the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he had memorized from the Kadachas and the verses of Swarup Damodar, and also from his own observations, because he also lived there for long years in Puri along with Mahaprabhu. He was witness to many of these pastimes himself. And at these evening lectures on Chaitanya Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was one of the attentive and avid listeners. Kaviraj Goswami was an old man at that time, but he would come there and hear very, very attentively, and he would take his notes. And it is on the basis of these notes that eventually Kaviraj Goswami was able to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we owe the existence of the Chaitanya Charitamrita actually to Swarup Damodar. So from Swarup Damodar, it came down to Raghunath Das Goswami. From Raghunath Das Goswami, it came to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The earlier pastimes of Mahaprabhu are more in detail described by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he relied a lot on Murari Gupta's Kadachas or his works. But for Kaviraj Goswami, he relied a lot on what Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarup Damodar said. So we can understand the importance that Swarup Damodar has in our Sampradaya. So Swarup Damodar was a constant assistant. Whenever Mahaprabhu would act in ways that were dangerous, even because in that in the throes of devotional ecstasy, he would sometimes do things that could endanger him. He would one time jumped into the sea, and then Swarup Damodar took the devotees and they somehow managed to find him. All these pastimes are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Swarup Damodar Goswami lived there in Vrindavan, participating all the festivals. In the Rath Yatra, he was right there. In the Gundicha festival, he was there. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas believe that Swarup Damodar is none other than Lalita Sakhi. Now you know that the associates of Krishna from Vrindavan have also appeared in Gaur Leela, and they take on various, they become various personalities. Just as Krishna has become Mahaprabhu, Balaram has come as Nityananda Prabhu. So all the intimate associates of Radha and Krishna, they also come in Gaur Leela. So this list is given especially in books like the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur, interestingly, mentions that Swarup Damodar is actually Vishakha Devi. But the general and commonly accepted conclusion in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is that Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi, not Vishakha Sakhi. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Swarup Damodar, therefore, is a direct expansion of Srimati Radharani, who has come to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand the attitude of Srimati Radharani. So this is the role that Swarup Damodar played. And finally, just a few words about Shivananda Sen. We talked about Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur was also formerly called Paramananda, and then his name became Kavi Karnapur. He was one son of Shivananda Sen. The others were Sri Chaitanya, and there was another son he had. I forget the name now. So he had three sons, and Shivananda Sen was one of the most, the foremost Grihastha devotees of Mahaprabhu. Also, there were Advaita Acharya and Srivas Thakur, of course. But he was an expert manager, and he would manage all these yatras. Whenever the devotees went from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, the management responsibilities were with Shivananda Sen. And one time, Mahaprabhu called Shivananda Sen and said, "Look, our Vasudev Datta, he is such a liberal Grihastha. You know, whatever he earns, he spends in one day. So you please take care of him. You supervise his accounts, his incomes and expenditure. And you guide him how he should earn, how he should spend. He's a householder. He needs to save some money. So you must teach him all these things." So Mahaprabhu put Vasudev Datta under the charge of Shivananda Sen. So they were exemplary Grihasthas. Even they knew how to deal with the world. Shivananda Sen was very wise. He had many, many important roles to play in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But time doesn't permit us to go into that. So today is the disappearance day anniversary also of Srila Shivananda Sen. Srila Shivananda Sen ki jai. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami ki jai. Shri Rath Yatra Mahotsav ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.